Good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to call to order the May 23rd regular City Commission meeting. If you'll join me and silence your phones, I would appreciate that. We will open up the meeting. We are fortunate to have Pastor Todd Haymans here from the Aloma Baptist Church. Pastor Haymans, thank you. And if you all remain standing after the blessing for the Pledge of Allegiance, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Father God, we thank you for all that you're doing here today, God. We thank you for a time where we can come together, Father, and plan and work in your name. And so, Father, we thank you for the city of Winter Park. Father, we thank you for providing a wonderful community. God, we ask that you use this meeting as a time where we can better things, Father, or we can continue to work. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for everything you do in our community. We appreciate it. Randy, do we have any changes to the agenda?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor. Item 11B, the West Morse item, is being tabled at the request of the applicant.
Okay. And we have on the original. Let's make sure everybody's aware of the other two addition. One the addition and the other subtraction too.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Was that B 11B?
That was 11B as in boy.
Yeah.
And we also have removed. Originally there was 11H.
Yes.
And that is right. Removed from right. The revised agenda.
Right.
And we also had in there. We had an addition from the original agenda to item 6. Correct?
Yes, the city attorney's report. He's going to discuss the bond validation process.
Okay. So I just wanted everybody to make sure we're going off the same agenda. Okay. With that, I'll seek a motion to approve.
So move.
Second.
Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Great. Debbie, would you please notice that Commissioner Cooper was absent? Thank you. Spencer Warlick here. Spencer? Come on up, Spencer. I didn't even recognize you beforehand, if you wouldn't mind. Many of you know our Art in Chambers is a program of the Winter Park Public Arts Advisory Board. I see some members here. Hi, ladies. To increase residents' and visitors' access to art, especially our local artists. We're fortunate to enjoy the rotating Art in the Chambers exhibit, so the art that you see around here, we have the photography of Spencer Warlick to help liven up the public rooms here at City Hall. You're the owner and of the own. You're the owner of your own design build firm, Warlick Design Construction, based in Winter Park. Awesome. Thanks for being here in Winter Park. We appreciate that. We want to thank you. You want to share some thoughts on your art? You want to? Here, step right up to
the. But it's an honor, and I appreciate it, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah. Yes, it's been here a while. Well, I'll tell you, nobody enjoys it more than the people that sit up here
because we get to see
it the whole time. So while it's behind them, we really do appreciate it.
All right, well, I hope someone buys something.
So thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Support our local economy and our local artists, please, folks. Randy, City Manager's Report.
Yes, sir, just one item. A few meetings ago, we talked about the various properties in the city that the city owned, and
right.
We didn't come to a consensus on the Blake Yard. Since that meeting, of course, we had a presentation at that meeting from a neighborhood group that had a specific use they'd like to use it for. Since that time, we've had a couple of other offers. One was a cash offer, and another was to remember the neighbors that also wanted the 20 to 25 feet for mm-hmm. parking. They've put in an offer. So if it's the pleasure of the commission, I'd like to go ahead and issue a notice of disposal and get formal offers in. That's the process for getting rid of property. So if it's pleasure of the commission, we'd like to move forward with that process. And then you'd get to entertain any type of options that come in, any proposals that come in, you'd be able to consider.
Two things for you, Randy, on that. Dory, how close are we to having a broker of record?
We've got the bids in.
Okay.
We meet Wednesday to narrow down, and then I think orals are next week or I think it's next week.
Okay, so we're close. There's no rush to dispose of this project, no. So I think we can hold on.
And it would take, obviously, some time to advertise it and all that, too.
And what is the surrounding? That's zoned right now, PQP?
Yes, sir.
And the zoning
behind it is R2, the zoning across the street, and I think...
Where's right there across the street?
Yeah.
Well, across the turn.
It's sure. R1, I believe.
Okay, so do we have a recommendation from staff on how to, or should we, why don't we wait, can I offer that we wait until we have a broker record on board and then ask suggestions from that individual as to how we should zone it in order to receive the best value for the taxpayers of Winter Park?
Sure.
And then we can bring it back to the commission and decide whether or not we want to put it up for a notice of disposal?
I'll support that.
Second.
Yeah, I had a question on the notice of disposal, Randy. Is that required to sell the 25 feet or at least the 25 feet? Or
yes, because the property's in the CRA. You could, if that was your desire to make that happen, then you could divide the property and say we're going to put out an NOD on this 25 feet, and that there'd only be one logical buyer. You'd want something locked in ahead of time that they're not going to then say we'll give you a dollar.
Right. But right. Well, no, I guess if we wanted to keep it to do something with the city, we can do a notice of disposal for a portion of it, or
yes,
we need to do it
could.
For the whole thing. So right now we're talking about the portion.
Well, we're talking about the whole thing.
Talking about the entire thing.
But you could do it as two separate parcels if you wanted to make the decision that you wanted to do the parking or ensure that the parking happens. You could divide it.
Okay, yeah, I guess so we're talking about now is advertising for the notice of disposal of the property?
Right.
Or just
that's what I was talking about. The mayor suggested we wait until we get a broker on board and decide on the zoning first.
Well, are we deciding to sell the property right now?
No.
Okay.
That's we're basically about. Putting this on. We're tabling this, Commissioner, until we have a broker on record and we have a recommendation from them, from they and staff, as to how we should put it forward.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Are we good with that, Randy?
Yep.
There's three here.
That concludes my report.
Any questions for the city manager? No? Mr. Arteman, you're on.
Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. Three items. The first one, we closed on the purchase of the old bowling alley property last week, so the city is the owner of that property now. Number two, there was
well
a question.
Done. Thank you. I know that was a long time.
Thank you all. It's a good piece to have. With respect to the drone questions that were raised by Commissioner Seidel and the Commission last meeting, just a couple of points for your information. The federal government has the right and has acted, we believe, through its legislation to occupy the entire area of drone aircraft, and it's pretty clear with respect to that, with some exceptions. And I actually spoke with the Office of the General Counsel for the FAA, and they key to anything that deals with operations of aircraft, whether it's a drone or other vehicle that's in the air. If it deals with the operations that affect in the air or keyed somehow integrated or integral to that, they, as a federal government, say they preempt the law entirely with no ability of any state, county, or city to regulate drone activity. And with that said, they go on to say, with respect to privacy issues, voyeurism, certain criminal investigation-related matters, they believe they have not preempted the area, or if they have, they allow states and local governments to legislate certain items. So the key phraseology that the FAA lawyers deal with it are operational issues in the air.
So
they say operation. The question is, what is operational? Because it's something on the ground that may affect a drone or other an operational issue. It's not real clear. So what the FAA General Counsel's office offers to do and does is, if we as a city want to pass an ordinance with respect to drones, we would craft that or an outline of what we would like to do, submit it to them for their review and comment. Their general rule is that if the ordinance or statute, if it's the state level, mentions drones and keys to drones or aircraft, and it in any way affects operations, they say, no, that's a preempt. We preempted that to the federal government. On the other hand, if it's a general law, such as a nuisance generally, that doesn't call out aviation operations or drones specifically, they tend to look at that as a non-preemptive issue. So I tried to pin the Office of General Counsel down. He was the epitome of a lawyer. He wouldn't give me a clear answer on all of it, other than they're happy to review what we would propose. They have done that for states. They have done that for cities and counties. So I asked him, do they have a uniform ordinance or a recommendation? He said no. They do have some guidance, but it's not very helpful. So if you would like to move forward with some rules, regulations with respect to drones, I think what we would do as a staff or a commission, put those bullet points into a draft. It must be carefully worded, because it can be worded in such a way that it does exactly what we want as a city and not be believed to be, or not be preempted to the feds. On the other hand, if you change one word to say, oh, it's now a drone instead of just a general regulation related to nuisance or something like that, then they say it's preempted in your toast. So they have not been, they've been very, very helpful in offering to give us advice about what we want to do. But we have to give it to them.
What
they'll
let
give
us
do. The advice.
Questions for city attorney?
Yes, sir. Are there state, county, or local laws pertaining to privacy and voyeurism?
Sure.
Generally, anyway?
Yes, there are. And so that was the kind of the underlying thought, I believe, of at least this one particular lawyer with the general counsel's office for FAA, that if you're dealing with privacy or voyeurism or nuisances with respect to your general ordinances, use that. Now, if we can expand that or tailor that to somehow be a little more to be able to deal with a drone issue beyond what we have now, they may also look favorably on that.
Let me ask the question a little more directly.
Mm-hmm.
In the specific instance that Commissioner Seidel brought up, if there were a means of identifying the operator of the invasion of privacy, would we currently be in a position to prosecute?
Would we?
Yeah. Do we need additional restrictions, I think, is basically...
Yes, a good question. I've not looked at all of the mechanisms and means as to enforce it, such as a nuisance, trespass.
Right.
I mean, there's probably 5 or 6 or 7 different ordinances or code sections that we could use to try to deal with it. And maybe that's a better way to look at
it. I'd certainly endorse a review of our current ordinances to see if it reasonably captures that technology within its language so that we can use it.
Yeah. Miami actually adopted an ordinance, and I quizzed the general counsel's office on it, and they said they don't know if it's legal or not. And just go ahead and pass it, and then if some third party challenges the ordinance or the statute, then they may get involved at that point. So I don't think we really want to. We can go down that path.
But
we'd like to be a little more accurate on the front end, I would think.
Yeah.
Well, I think just to add to Commissioner Weldon's point there, it's so far fairly isolated from what I understand. I haven't heard of too many. We heard of two incidents up at the, or one incident at the bench level here, but I'm not willing to. I think we should look at the existing codes and see what's there before we start doing something. Do we have a third on that?
Yes.
Good. Greg?
Yeah. Now, I have a question. Is with regards to this law, did it specifically refer to the word drone? And I ask that because we've had model airplanes for years, right? So aren't there regulations? Do these same regulations apply to model airplanes now and they didn't before?
The phrase that's used, I believe, let me see what it is, unmanned, let me see what it is. It's unmanned.
Well, I would say, unmanned or remote control.
Or in person.
UAS, it is... Find the definition of the UAS.
Spoken like someone who's married to an attorney.
Well, I just recall because we used to fly these planes when I was little. We could only do it in certain areas.
Unmanned aircraft systems. UAS is the,
right.
is the acronym.
When I was a kid, you couldn't fly it over private property, but now I'm an adult and you can. And I guess that's what I don't understand.
Somebody did, whether or not they were allowed.
Exactly.
I don't understand.
Right. I think because of the prevalence of them now and the invasive, the potential invasiveness of them versus, you know, the old planes didn't necessarily carry video cameras and little bombs and whatever else it might drop.
Okay. Okay. Hey, Kurt, well, you've heard the three. Can you take a peek at that? Or four? Thank you.
I'll come back. Third item there, Commissioner. With respect to the Civic Center library parking facility.
Yes, sir.
Randy and I have met with the city's bond council and talked about how best to proceed with respect to this matter. And we believe it would be appropriate for the city to move forward with a bond authorization lawsuit. We talked about briefly before. It's become more important now because there has been a petitioners committee formed to bring to the commission, if it were proper, an ordinance that would prohibit the facility being located in Martin Luther King Jr. Park.
Right.
So in order to resolve those issues, the three of us believe it's appropriate and important for the commission to authorize a bond council to bring a bond authorization proceeding, which would deal with that issue as well.
A bond validation.
I'm sorry, bond validation. The bonds have already been authorized. This would be a validation of that.
Right.
Thank you, Randy.
Great. Any questions for the city attorney?
Yeah, I got one. So just to confirm, the city's current position could prevail in the courts, subject to appeal, go to the Supreme Court of Florida. Is that correct? And if it prevails, there is the petition fails. Is that fair?
Well,
the petitioners committee affidavit and proposed ordinance, assuming the court takes jurisdiction of all that and rules on it, would be reviewed, vetted, and decided upon. It would be done with at that point.
And the other example would be if the city's position loses, the city then has to acknowledge the petition.
No.
Under the...
Not necessarily, but likely. Okay. That would be the case. At that point, if the city were to lose and the proposed ordinance were to come before the commission in a proper fashion as an initiative rather than a reconsideration of what the city commission previously did, at that point the commission would have the ability to run a competing ordinance with that if it saw fit. Or you could adopt. You could adopt the other proposed ordinance.
Right.
Or the city would also have the right to appeal to the Florida Supreme Court.
Certainly.
All right, thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Do we have to have action?
We do have to take action, but before that, I just want to say the anti-library PAC, the challenge to revise the existing ordinance, has already been determined to be to not have been filed in a timely manner, so our charter doesn't allow for them to proceed that way. I think it's creating a divisive situation in the city. It goes against the voters' will, and it's going to be costly to taxpayers in the city of Winter Park. The action we're considering today, just to clarify, will not only expedite the process, it should help control the expense to taxpayers and will actually allow anyone wishing to contest the voters' will, including the anti-library PAC's five organizers, a voice in court. So there's an opportunity to reduce expense, speed up the process, and give those that would go against the voters' will a voice in court. So that's why I think it's the right path. Any questions for the city attorney?
No.
Great. We need three.
I'll move it, whatever.
Second. How do you want to handle this? Do you want to make an official motion, or do you just need three nods?
No, a motion and a vote is appropriate. After the comment from the public mayor.
Good. Then I will open the floor to public comment if there's no more comment up here. Anybody wishing to speak to the commission on this item, please step forward. And then a yellow card. No, we will close the floor to public comment. Commissioner Sprinkle, I believe you had a motion, and I believe Commissioner Wellen seconded it.
I did.
Great. Gabby, would you please read the roll?
Commissioner Seidel?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Wellen?
Yes.
Mayor Leary?
Yes. Thank you. And Commissioner Cooper is absent. Thank you, Mr. City Attorney.
Thank you. That's it, Mayor. Commissioner.
Okay. Any questions for the City Attorney on any other item? Great. Seeing none, we'll move on. We have no non-action items. The consent agenda.
Yeah, I wanted to pull item 5 just for discussion on
item
budget.
Item B5, 9B5?
Yes, sir, 9B5.
Okay.
Just to discuss the budget.
Certainly. Anybody else? Yep. Look for a motion to approve the rest.
So moved.
Second.
Great. Why don't we open the floor to public comment? Anybody wishing to address the commission on items on item 9A and B without B5, please step forward. Seeing none, we'll close the floor to public comment. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Debbie, that was 4-0. Mr. Seidel, you pulled 9B5.
Yep, no, thank you. With regards to the budget, because people keep throwing around the word $30 million for the library, I got with Randy on a conversation earlier, and what was produced was a construction budget, and this is what I was getting at with, don't want to be writing an open-ended check. And within here, the original estimations, they were showing $23 million construction budget, and they had 15% contingency, and then they had the other fees that were in there. And what I'm really focused on is that $23 million construction budget, because when everyone says we just passed a referendum for a $30 million library, it was a referendum to cover the cost for the library.
Up to,
right. And so I guess what I'm trying to do is make sure people don't have that number in their head that we're spending that much on the construction, and that this is, and how do we do that with the project moving forward was kind of some of the discussion I had, because it really, I guess, I don't know if it's been spelled out, and Pete, that's why I was asking you last time. But,
I could certainly clarify my thoughts on that.
Yeah, great. That'd be great.
Amongst us and the public, for that matter. One of the first things I did as a member of the Architectural Selection Task Force was go through every one of the library projects. Each team, each of the 16 original or 14 original, architects did. And in there was the square footage and the final cost. And at $30 million, our square footage between the library and Civic Center came out to $560 a square foot, just as a benchmark, not as an absolute.
And did that include the parking structure as well?
It may have in certain circumstances, depending upon whether or not they had a structure.
In our number, yes.
Okay. Now, the $560 per square foot in our number was just the $50,000 for the library and the $8,000 for the event center.
Right.
And if you divide
the total
that's
cost.
That's
the $500 is just those two pieces.
Correct. But the other projects also had parking structures associated with them in many cases. The range of actual executed libraries, and of course not too many were a combination of library and event center, but on a square footage basis ranged between, I think, $165 a square foot and $600-something a square foot. And of course it depends on, who's writing the budget and how much money they have. But I think it averaged about $280, $300 a square foot. So I felt fairly comfortable based on that and our discussions with each of the applicants that our budget is comfortably within the realm of what we should be able to execute. And I would hope to have it, personally, I would hope that it would be less than $30 million, and I look forward to the process going forward.
When you say less than 30, you mean the overall budget, or do you mean the building budget? I was specifically talking about the construction budget, not the other items that are associated with it that have cost.
Give me an example of that, yeah. Commissioner, so we can clarify.
Well, the architectural engineering piece, okay. Right? That's outside the construction budget. The construction management company would be outside the construction budget.
The FF&E. Yeah. Randy, is all that stuff outside the, or maybe this is a question for the city attorney, is all that outside of the referendum language?
No, it's included in the referendum language, but the overall $32.5 million, remember the bond issue was 30 and the library was going to raise 2.5, that included FF&E and all these fees the commissioner's talking about. What he's saying, he thinks, he's hearing from people that think it's a $32 million construction budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What he's saying is, no,
I don't believe that's the case.
That price includes all FF&E, the architect's fees, all the other soft costs, the site prep, all of that.
Well, I also want to tell you where I'm at on this, and I think Commissioner Sprinkle would like to weigh in too. When we originally talked about this number, we said that this is a not to exceed number. The discussion we had at the time was we were hopeful this number would come in under 25. So for those people that think it's 30 plus 2.5, I would say to me it's less than that. It is probably around 25 less the 2.5. So I think we have to be a little bit more realistic with our
with our numbers here. That's my personal feeling, one of five up here. But I think if someone comes in with a budget all-inclusive of 32.5, the chair would have a very difficult time supporting that.
I support the mayor's position on that.
Commissioner? I obviously support it. If you will recall, I actually tried to get it down to 25, and nobody would go with me. So the bottom line of that is I am afraid that if you give somebody a blank check for $32 million, it's going to come in at $32 million. One of my big understandings was that when you build, you have to have a contingency fund, and that was why this project that was a $23 million budget was actually up to 30 or 32, where we want to go. So I am on board with you guys when it comes to looking at something that's coming in at far less than that. Yeah. I did have the opportunity to go and see a building that was a library that has been built in a park in Washington, D.C. that these builders built just last weekend. I just decided to drive by and see it. And it is very, very interesting. So I think that there's a lot of really cool things out there.
Commissioner Seidel.
Yeah, and I appreciate what everyone's thoughts on this, and that, yes, we are looking out for the budget. And I guess that's where I was kind of looking at it is, you know, being involved in construction projects that I am, knowing that, you know, from when we start to when we, the process, when we do it, prices can go up, prices can go down. We have the contingencies for that. It's just we're bringing an architect on board to design something that's not been really detailed, right? Mm-hmm. We have the space figured out, but we haven't really decided how many bells and whistles. Do we want the $500 square foot? Do we want the $300 square foot? Where does that fall into place? And I'm trying to make sure that our process is aware of that as we go through. Is there, you know, and the architectural firm that we're about to select understands that we want our cake and we want to eat it too. And so, and it's making sure that the process doesn't end up at the end of the day where we're arguing over something later on that could have been prevented had we had some controls in place during this process is all. And what those might be, I'm not sure. I'm just asking questions.
Yes, sir. It's my understanding and my expectation, given the discussions on the task force and with the architects and with Randy, that the City Commission will be reviewing and approving a going-in construction budget after during the design phase. When that design is approved by the City Commission, it will include the benefit of all of the questions along similar lines. And then once the design is approved by the City Commission, it's my understanding that there will be a construction budget formulated that will also have to be approved by the City Commission.
That's correct.
So to the extent that that gets out of line with any of us, you know, I think each of us will be vocal and appropriately so.
Well, and to that question, or to that comment, Randy, when we look at this, how do you propose proceeding with this? Because there are going to be budget issues, design issues. Does it make sense to set up a task force of individuals to kind of handle that? Is staff handling it? I don't believe the library is, board is set up to handle that. I don't believe the commission should be reviewing every little item.
Right. You won't be reviewing every little item, but we will have milestones where it comes back to the commission for a sanity check, if you will, go or no go vote on where we are at that point. Staff is going to be bringing on a help in managing the project. That's one of the things we have in the budget. I forgot the title of that person. Troy's name. Owner's rep, right?
Which will
be looking at the city's interest and helping us look at the bids as they come in from the contractor and the architect to do a sanity check on that.
So
Mr. Mayor, if you will, I guess where I was going with that, it would be nice if we have a budget number here and we said we'd like your first design to come in around this budget number, and then is there an option for less and an option for more, and then we can kind of look at what we're getting for what we're paying. I mean, how do you make that process so that we're it's not,
so it's not $30 million,
right? But also they're not designing something three or four or five times, which isn't beneficial for anybody. And so that's the thought process I want to start thinking about. I don't think I have to make a decision, but as we enter into this contract, it's something that we should be aware of what's the best way to make sure we're
your point is well taken.
The goal.
You know, I don't know that there is an objective standard. It's a process of working with a design architect and his local team. And
I'd be happy for them to educate us on how they think it should go.
Well, exactly. And we'll have that opportunity if we want. I mean, that's obviously part of the process as well.
Right.
Well, tonight we're hopefully approving an architect to get this process moving, and then perhaps we can have a work session between the I'd like to have a work session between the architectural design build team to discuss what the expectations are from this commission, if you're all right with that.
No, that sounds great.
Makes sense. Okay, great. So with that, Commissioner, you have item 9B5 pulled. Are there any other questions regarding this item, Commissioner Weldon?
I would just like to point out that we had a wealth of talent at our disposal, an incredible array of high-quality architectural firms, engineering firms, design firms, and it was a very difficult decision. I just want you to know that I am not going to vote for the number one, pick of the task force, not because I'm against that selection, but because I'm for the second selection of the task force. And I don't, wish to bias anyone's opinion based upon that, but I think I have to stick to my guns in terms of